Tonight, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. And last week, together, we looked at Psalm 3. And tonight, we're going to look at another psalm, though of a little bit different kind. Last week, our psalm was a psalm of trust, a psalm of encouragement in which David is crying out to God in the midst of great difficulties. The psalm that I want us to look at tonight is in Psalm 1, the very first psalm of the collection. And many people believe that this psalm was intentionally placed at the beginning of the collection of all the psalms because of the foundation that it lays for the entire rest of the book. It shows us the importance of God's truth, of God's laws, and of delighting in those laws and walking in God's path. And so really, as calling us to a desire to God's word, it lays the foundation for all the rest that we read in the Psalms. And really what this psalm does is it very clearly, very distinctly lays out two paths, two roads that we as human beings can walk on, that we can travel. And I think this psalm is helpful for us, even as believers who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have confidence in our eternal life through what Jesus Christ has done for us. I think this psalm is important for us because we live in a culture that likes to merge and blend everything into just one big gray. And what this psalm does for us is it reminds us that there are two distinct paths. The world is not just a bunch of gray, where you can kind of decide what you want to do. No, there are two clearly defined roads that we can walk down. And this psalm reminds us that there are two separate roads that have two different paths of either blessing or misery, and they both have two different destinies that they ultimately end with. And this is helpful for us because in another psalm, in Psalm 73, which maybe would be a good psalm to read in companion with this one. In Psalm 73, the psalmist is actually asking himself, debating within himself, if it is worth it or not to live for God and to follow his ways. Because in Psalm 73, the psalmist looks out and he sees the people around him and he surveys their lives and he looks at wicked people and he sees that wicked people are prospering. And that doesn't make sense to him. Because in his worldview, in his biblical worldview, he thinks that wicked people should not be blessed. That those who are doing unrighteous things, those who are living sinful lifestyles, should not prosper. And so he's troubled by that. He's troubled by the fact that he sees wicked people who don't care about God, who don't fear God. They're doing whatever they want to do, and yet their lives seem to be full of ease and wealth and prosperity and blessing. And the psalmist is scratching his head and really in inner turmoil at asking himself, is living for God worth it? But then, in the middle of the psalm, in the middle of Psalm 73, there's a key turn in the middle of the psalm. And the psalmist says, but then I went into the house of God, and then I understood their destiny. I understood their end. And that end is the same end that Psalm 1 talks about the wicked. That end is destruction. That end is judgment. And so while in this life there may be times when it seems like wicked people prosper and things are going well for them, in the Psalms we're reminded that that is only temporary and really it's just an illusion because their ultimate destiny is destruction and judgment. And so in this Psalm we're reminded that there are two very clear paths. And it helps us to really evaluate and think about the fact, which path am I on? Which way am I walking? Am I walking on God's path or am I walking the sinful path, the path of sinful humanity? And so let's look at this psalm together. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The first thing that we see in this psalm is that God's way leads to blessing and eternal life. So it's kind of divided in half, verses 1 through 3 and verses 4 through 6. And in verses 1 through 3, the psalmist plainly reveals to us that God's way, God's path, leads to blessing and eternal life. He says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." He is truly blessed, the one who walks in God's way. Several things in these first few verses that I want us to think about. One is that the psalm clearly shows us that there's a distinction between God's way and the path of sin, the path that sinful humanity takes. And I was alluding to this a few moments ago. There are two completely different roads. Two different roads, two different directions, two different destinies. And as I was thinking about this psalm, I thought about the many, many times in my life when I've taken a wrong turn. Have you ever done that? You thought you were heading somewhere, but you took a wrong turn and you actually ended up in the wrong place. This happens to me a lot because, for two reasons. One, because I get distracted while I'm driving, especially if I'm talking to somebody. If I'm talking to somebody in the car, or if I'm talking to somebody on my cell phone while I'm driving, I almost always miss a turn, or I miss an exit on the freeway, and I have to double back, and then I have to figure out where I am, and then my shortcuts sometimes end up being long cuts. Another reason why I often end up making wrong turns is I've lived in a lot of different places, and almost all the time, every single time that I move to a new place, it takes a little while to get acclimated to where everything is. And I remember several times in different places that I've lived, especially the first couple of months that I lived in each place, that I would think that I would be heading the right way, and I wasn't. And especially when you're trying to learn new roads, and I've lived in most of the places where I've been in the last, really my whole marriage, have been more rural areas. So Kentucky, we were very rural. This is big time compared to where we were in Kentucky. Winfield is like a metropolis compared to where we were in Kentucky. But all these places, they have little country roads, and almost all the roads where we lived in Kentucky, they were basically single lane roads. And by single lane roads, I don't mean each path has their own lane. I mean there's one lane. So, yeah, like some of these out here. So there's no yellow line, there's no lines in the middle, there's just, you find your place and you get out of the way, especially if there's a tractor coming down the road, you get off to the side. And so a lot of twisty, turny, hilly roads, and sometimes you get lost, and sometimes you forget where you are, especially learning a new place, and you think that you're going to take a shortcut, and you take a right-hand turn, but you should have taken a left, and you end up in the wrong place. That's the thing about roads, is roads always lead you somewhere, don't they? Roads always take you to a certain destination. And essentially that's what the psalmist is doing in the psalm, is he is teaching us that these two paths have their own separate distinct ways and their own separate distinct destinations. They take us to two different spots. And so you can't merge them together. They're two totally different roads, totally distinct. And so in verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the one who's walking God's path, the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." And probably almost every commentary that I've read, and probably every preacher that I've heard, have rightly pointed to the progression that unfolds in verse 1. There's a progression from walking to standing, to sitting. And so the idea seems to be that you start off with a loose association with sinners, taking advice from them, seeking their counsel, maybe doing some things with them, but then it leads to more in-depth relationship and involvement and activity. And then before long, you're sitting with them and in full fellowship relationship with them, sitting in the seat of the mockers, in the company of mockers. And so there's a progression, and this is the way it works with roads. When you first make the turn, you're not very far down the road. But after a little while, you're farther and farther and farther along down the path toward the destination that that road takes you to. Well, if you get on the path of sinners, then at first, may not be so bad. At first, it may not be that different from the path of God. But it leads you down that path farther and farther and toward destruction. Blessed is the one who does not walk down that path. They're two totally different roads. The second thing that the psalm points out about those who walk on God's path is that the way of this path is clearly marked out for us in God's Word. I mentioned that this is a Torah psalm. This is a wisdom psalm, emphasis on the law of God. And so in verse 2, it says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night." Just this past Sunday night, we were talking about the need for us as believers to grow in our relationship with God. And one way that we can do that is to transform our time in God's Word from simple reading into meditation. And so not just reading in a surface level to get the content, not just reading so that we can check it off on a to-do list, but reading to the point of where we can think on it, meditate on it, reflect on it, apply it to our hearts. And so this psalm lifts up and exalts those who delight in God's Word and who meditate on it, who think on it deeply. And I mentioned Sunday night too, and just as a reminder, that in order to do this, we got to unplug. We have to unplug. Because there's no greater enemy to thought and meditation and reflection than all the media entertainment that we have at our fingertips. It's all this media entertainment that we have, it's so distracting. iPhones and iPads and televisions and movies and internet. There's just so much of it. And it's so intriguing. It invites you in and it hooks you. It's very addictive. In fact, many, many studies have been done that show that some of the same chemicals that get released in the brain when people smoke are some of the same chemicals that get released in the brain when you're surfing the internet or watching a movie. It releases chemicals that you enjoy this. I like this. And so whenever that chemical is released, you associate it with the activity that helped get that feeling. And so it creates an addiction. Facebook, Twitter, internet, movies, iPad games, they're all addictive. How many people have you seen? I saw this the other day. We were over in Oxford with Carolyn's family. It's probably a few weeks back. And I remember walking through the mall, and there was a family. It was a mom and a dad, and they were walking through the mall. And there was a kid, there was a boy walking behind them, probably a boy about my son's age. And he had either an iPad or a Kindle Fire or something like this. And he was playing it while he was walking through the mall. So his mom and dad are right here, and he's going like this, you know, just head down doing it. How many people have you seen that they have a phone in their hands almost all the time? Now, that's the age we live in. I'm not saying these things are evil, but we have to learn how to control them. We have to learn how to use them properly. Because all technology has a good purpose, but all technology can also have detrimental effects on us. And we need to be aware of those. And one effect that technology has on us is it rips from us the ability to think in silence and do nothing except reflect on what God's Word says. If we're all the time plugged in, it makes it harder and harder to be able to do that. And so we need to stop and meditate on God's Word. God's Word is like the roadmap, the psalmist is saying. God's Word is the roadmap that shows us the path, shows us God's path. And so the one who's on God's road, he delights in God's Word and he meditates on it. And then this is the path of true blessing. This is the path of true blessing. Verse 3 says, "This person who walks on God's path, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers." Now, does that mean that nothing will ever go wrong in a person's life who's following God and on God's path? Now, we know that's not necessarily the case. We could point to Job, right? We have example in Job that here's a man who, according to the testimony of the book of Job, he was a blameless man. He was walking in God's paths. He was concerned about his own righteousness and the righteousness of his family. He even offered sacrifices for his sons and his daughters to make sure that their sins were covered. He was a righteous man, and yet look at all the things that happened to him. And so, what about the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was the most righteous person who ever lived on the face of the earth, never did one single sin. Not one wrong attitude, not one wrong word, not one wrong action, and yet he was mistreated and abused and afflicted. Jesus told his disciples that if you follow me, you're going to take up your cross, and that cross is going to involve suffering. It's going to involve bearing shame and reproach for my name. And so this is not necessarily a guarantee that nothing will go wrong in our lives, but it is, I believe, a guarantee that it will go better for us ultimately in the end, which this psalm is mainly about. But also I think there is a sense in which there is blessing even in the here and now. Because even while we're going through difficulties, even while we're going through trials, if we are on God's path by faith, then we are well watered. We are well supplied. We are well nourished. And we have the resources and we have the sustenance of grace to help us even through the times of wind and storm and turmoil and trouble. I mean, here's an image of a tree. Even a tree that is planted by a river of water and has an endless supply of water and nourishment, that tree still gets rained on. That tree still has the wind blown against it. But what that tree can endure. That tree can go through difficult times because it is sustained by God's grace. And so that's like us. We're sustained by God's grace even through difficult times. And so the path to true blessing is on God's path. But now, what about the other path? There's one path, the path of God. There's another path, though. It's the path of sin, the path of sinful humanity. And it leads to misery and destruction. The path of sin, here's the thing, though. It can appear good for a season. The path of sin can appear healthy. It can appear good, happy for a season, but it is short-lived. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away." Now, think about chaff for a second. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the wheat and the tares? Well, what did Jesus say in that parable? In the parable, the servants came up to the master and said, "Master, we've just discovered that our enemy has come in and sowed tares, weeds, in the midst of the wheat. What should we do? Should we go in and should we tear them down to get them out of there?" He says, "No. If you do that, you'll hurt the wheat also." He says, "Leave them. Let them grow up together. And then what will happen? In the end, they'll be separated, right? In the end, they'll be separated. And the one you'll bind up and bring into the barn, and the other, the tares, the weeds, you'll burn up, be gone." And what was that parable about? The parable was about destinies, wasn't it? And so here's the thing, is in this life, the wheat and the tares may grow up together. And there may be times when the two may be indistinguishable or hard to separate. But in the end, their destinies are clear. And so there's a time, there's a season in which living the path of sinful humanity may seem healthy, may even seem happy. You may know unbelievers whose lives are going fairly well. You may know unbelievers whose lives may seem relatively trouble-free. You may know unbelievers whose lives may seem happy. And that may be so to a certain extent. But here's what the Bible reveals to us in its wisdom, is that it's an illusion. It's an illusion, and it's temporary. And those things that bring them happiness are not ultimately satisfying. Not ultimately satisfying. Whether it's delighting in the pleasures of the body, food, drink, sex, drugs, alcohol, or delighting in the pleasures of the pride of this life, popularity, fame, enjoyment, entertainment, whatever it is, whatever they're finding their satisfaction, their happiness in, ultimately it is short-lived. And ultimately it won't bring true blessing and true satisfaction. This verse reminds us that they grow up together for a time, but in the end, the chaff is blown away. And so there's a time when they appear healthy, but in the end, their end is destruction. And so the path of sin results in God's judgment. The path of sin results in God's judgment. Verses 5 and 6. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is a common theme in wisdom literature. And Psalm 1 is considered a wisdom psalm. And you'll find similar themes in the book of Proverbs. The idea of two paths, two ways of life, and two destinies. One path, the way of God, in the fear of God, believing God, trusting God, obeying God, leads to blessing and life. The other path of the way of sin, selfishness, wickedness, living for myself, ultimately leads to misery and judgment and destruction. Two different paths. Now, is this just an Old Testament teaching? Is this just an Old Testament teaching? Or is there a way that we can apply this in a New Testament sense now that Christ has come? Well, I think we can apply this in light of Christ coming. Think of John 14, verse 6. What did Jesus say? I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus, still using these Old Testament themes of paths and ways and roads, he says, the path to God now is through me. I'm the door. I'm the gateway to that path. And so in order to follow this path of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners, but the one who walks in the way of God, delighting in God's word, flourishing with God's grace, that person is the one who has walked through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Interestingly, Jesus himself also talked about two roads. Matthew 7, verse 13. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But then what did he say? But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Interesting, isn't it, that some of the same themes. Two roads, two paths, two different destinies. Jesus says, there is a broad road that a lot of people take. It's the road of sin. It's the road of selfishness, the road of pleasure, the road of me first. And it's the road that ends in destruction. But he said, there's another road. There's a road of, it's narrow because there are few that are traveling on it, but it's a road that ultimately leads to life. And Jesus is saying in his teaching, I am that gate. I'm the narrow gate. I'm the way. And the way to this narrow path is through me. And so, in our world, one of the things I think this psalm teaches us is that it does matter. It does matter which path you're walking on. It does matter which way you're traveling. Are you traveling God's path or are you traveling your own path? The world wants to try to merge those two paths together and say there's really no big deal. There's really no difference. But we understand very clearly from God's word that there is a difference. There is a distinction. And the ultimate distinction is in the destinies of those two paths. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. One enjoys God's blessing, one faces his wrath and the misery of judgment. And so the question for us is this, and I think here's why this psalm is at the very beginning of the Psalms. Which path are we on? Which path are we going to walk? Are we on God's path by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to life? Or are we on the path of our own choosing, doing our own will that leads to destruction? We need to seriously consider which way we're traveling. And as we think about this psalm, I think this psalm, especially its themes, really resonates with our world today. And so as you talk with people, as you talk with your neighbors, your people that you work with, people in your neighborhood, your family members, ask them which way they're traveling. Which way are you going? And how do you get on that path? That's a good question, isn't it? How do you get on that path? Jesus says, the way to get on this path is through faith in me, through faith in what I have done. And so I think the psalm teaches us that true blessing comes to those walking on God's path through Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And so if you're walking on that path through Jesus Christ, then you're blessed, truly blessed. And even when the difficulties of this life come, you are sustained by the grace of God and ultimately led to your eternal home. That's a great blessing. And so I pray that each of you are on that path, and as you have opportunity to share the gospel with other people, this might be a helpful analogy, a helpful illustration as you talk with them about the gospel. Ask them which way they're traveling and where their destination is. And then lead that to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way, the truth, and the life. And so I pray that you are on the path to blessing and eternal life, and I pray that you will lead others to that path as well.